It's summer, it's camping season, and it's time for you to get Blue Chew at BlueChew.com. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code TMS at checkout and pay just $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com and the promo code TMS. Coming up on TMS, show me a slippery pud.
Bram Stoker's Count Jekula.
They had six strings in 92.
We need more chicken stories.
FOMO.
Kevin runs Methy Town.
Encrypted moron.
It's not mixed with anything except your face.
Expunging your jury duty.
I don't want kids logging into my stuff.
Let's have fun, moron.
700 millihoo-has.
I had two morons. Jessica throws Scott under the bus.
Hands on buzzards.
Tom's tech time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Okay.
One other thing. I don't care so much for all that la-di-da, fancy France shit you did out there tonight. Just keep the bull hitting you and we'll do good.
How is your duty?
The Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. How's
it going? There you go.
7-21-2021. Starting to sound crazy. Hey, welcome back to the show, or to it for the first time. We're glad to have you here. I'm Scott, and that's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott.
Hi. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. I had a weird night. Woke up at 2 because there was thunder and rain. And was not expecting that last night. I don't know what, you know, but I guess the forecast was like very low chance of rain, but that was a very high chance because we had a ton of rain, a lot of wind, and it kept me up for like an hour and a half. So that was great. Just trying to sleep. Well, and then Mother Nature came in and said, and farted on my face. And I went, I can't sleep now. So, yeah, that sucked.
I'm looking forward to when we get that rain that you're experiencing now. Because you get it, and then we get it.
Yep.
That's the way it works.
Yep. Unlike the mail, you always get it, and then I get it. I don't know why the mail can't get their crap straight. By the way, I also had a bit of a dream.
Ooh, excellent. Yep. Let's put this thing to use.
Yep, here we go. Brian's gift is already paying dividends here. Body parts. Well, so I had a dream where I came upon a public pool, and in the pool were floating hundreds, if not thousands, of severed body parts.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Legs, arms, heads.
You know what? I'll send you the serial killer's dream decoder box.
Oh, good.
I have that here. And
oh, good, good. Because I need to know when I'm going to act out. You know, I need to know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So I found.
Sponsored by Dexter on Showtime.
Yeah, we're getting a new season. Why not? So look at this. Oh, so I found a car.
That's what the pool looked like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it did kind of look like that, actually. It's called Body Parts. Let's see what it says. The summation is body parts represents aspects of your personal identity, and the clue to your meaning, the clue to their meaning is the association you have with the specific body part.
Now, yeah, but you're seeing all kinds of body parts.
Oh, yeah. There was no one specific body part, and this doesn't go well. It does try to explain this. So maybe it's all these things. So, for example, if your dream is about arms, this could represent your ability to reach out to others. Hands suggest attention to detail, where legs indicate your ability to move forward. Feet are your foundation or what keeps you grounded. Also, they help you move forward, so I don't know why they... whatever. Heads represent... Or if they are a bunch of heads, and there were heads in my pool. They represent your intellect, and necks are the connection between your physical body and your mind. Blood is a symbol of your essence of life. And muscles are your strength. Heart is, I never saw a heart, but hearts point to your relationship, and bones, your support system. It says this, if a body part is injured, something is preventing you from expressing the quality represented by that specific body part. All right. If you dream of teeth, skin, hair, nails, or other body parts that you shed, this suggests you need to you need to let go and move on from some situation or mindset that is holding you back. Boink.
Wow. Weird.
There it is.
So now that car that you're holding up right there, and I was about to say this, Kelly 138 in the chat room said it as well. Maybe just looking at that card the other day, because you looked at that card when you opened up the box.
I did. Yeah.
Maybe it was looking at that card that made you, that put that thought into your mind that triggered the pool dream, because the pool looked just like that card, right?
That's a really good point. Why didn't I see, for example, in the small handful that we went through, why didn't this Venus de Milo lady show up, right?
Right, right.
Why didn't, let's see. It's another one I found. Oh, this lady I looked at and kind of regret it. Check this out, chat. Hold on.
Oh, no. So looked at this and regretted it.
Yeah, look at her face. So this is teeth falling out.
Oh, geez.
I regret looking at that.
She looks very distraught about that, too.
Oh, she's very upset. Also, her teeth are in a circle somehow. But anyway.
Yeah, well.
We have them here handy when this comes up. And if we get a pattern of me seeing things that I've read in the cards, well, then that's a problem. That means that I shouldn't look at the cards first.
That means then we bring Wendy into the picture and say, all right, Wendy, it's he's having the body part dream again.
Yep. Then we need professional help at that point.
Right.
Well, anyway, I love having these handy because now if I dream, I feel like I at least have some show content that we can build around it. That's what I like the most. Okay. I got a couple emails. We got to read these today before we get going with things.
All right.
Full day. We got Dunaway coming up.
Ooh, got lots of stuff. Dunaway, Tom, Nicole, everybody.
Yep. Tad Pooley feud today. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Oh, I should get the phone thing up so it's ready. Don't call that, though. I'm not answering it, you guys. Just having it up. Yeah. Okay.
You guys should also log into the game as soon as you get a chance.
Oh, yeah. I should do that, too. I'm going to do that now. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways. So what was my point? Oh, I got this email.
Okay.
This is from our pal Tanner. Tanner Goodman.
Yeah.
His last name is
Tanner.
Both his last name and he is a good man. And he wrote in to fill us in on a little something here. He says, hello. This is about the jury summons thing that you're going to probably have to deal with. And this is next week, is it? When is it? Do you?
I find out Tuesday if I have to go there Wednesday.
Okay.
So.
So not, we have time where possibly things could change or the court or, you know, whatever. Who knows? But he says this about your jury summons or about jury summons in general. Sorry, the tadpole thing popped up. All right, here we go. Hello. When I was in college, I forgot to go to jury duty. I called the courthouse and told them. They told me that I ended up not being selected anyway, so I wasn't in trouble. They also told me I was expunged from the selection process for some amount of time. I can't remember how long. Maybe that's what happened to you, Scott, your delinquent friend, Tanner Goodman.
You got expunged, possibly.
Maybe I did. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. That just means you're not considered. They don't put you on the list.
Yeah, I think they just take you out of the pool.
Okay.
I
thought maybe you meant that they'd have to expunge your record showing that you evaded jury duty.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They just, like, you know, when you get your record expunged, they're removing your priors, your felonies, stuff like that.
Sure.
So getting expunged from the selection process means that you're the felony and you're getting expunged from the pool of available people.
Have I ever told you I had to have a misdemeanor expunged from my record from my youth?
No.
Yeah. It was taken out. I don't mind talking about this. It was removed when I was 18. But when I was 16 or so, could have sworn I told this story. But me and this girl I really liked her a lot, were in a, her name was Jessica Moore. I can say her full name. Who cares? She's married and's got, you know,
maybe
kids.
Jessica Moore cares. I don't know.
Maybe she does. But we were on the bus and for some reason, the bus, so you know, the bus, school bus has always had
school
those
bus? Okay.
Rubberized, the seating always had a rubberized kind of, edging around it like a round, and that was to I guess if you did get in a wreck,
you could grip on it, and
because there were no like seat belts or anything on buses like that. I don't think there still are. I think it's just free for all whatever in there.
I don't know what a school bus looks like on the inside anymore.
I'd be really curious, actually. That makes me wonder, because it's been a long time. Like junior high, we're talking like, oh my gosh, what was that, 83 4 3? It was a long time ago. So anyway, me and this girl, Jessica, who I just had the giantest crush on, but could never, I almost said penetrate, could never get, I could never get anywhere with her. She didn't like me in
never
that way.
Never closed the deal.
I just wanted to go on a date with her. She just never would. She was never, she liked me as a friend. That was as good as it was ever.
Yeah, you got friend zoned. Uh-huh.
Yeah, big time. So I shouldn't have said penetrate. That's terrible. So we're on the bus this one day and she's bored and I'm sitting next to her. and she starts fiddling with just one of these foam things that's around the seat in front of her that's starting to fray a little bit, starting to come apart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's just fiddling with it, and it's starting to come loose more, and some of the foam's coming off. And so she starts picking at the foam and taking some of the foam off. And she got it down to the, you know, a thread where it was like, this thing's going to fall off. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, cool. And I reached up and I grabbed it and I pulled it the rest of the way off and tore it off.
Because you had FOMO?
Yeah. I literally had FOMO because it's like a foam material. Anyway, so yeah. I pulled it off and I start waving it around. And then her and I kind of have a little sword fight with it, just kind of back and forth, like, haha, we're playing with this thing. Bus driver slams on the brakes.
Oh, no.
Comes back there screaming at us. Couldn't believe what we did. Blah, 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 blah. Took us to the principal's office. Principal's office called, I don't know who. Anyway, at the end of the day, we got some kind of misdemeanor charge for damaging public property.
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah. Because that's,
And they, even though
it was already coming apart and you just kind of helped it along the way.
Yeah. And also she helped it mostly. I barely did anything and I got busted for it. It's like I got left holding the bag or whatever. But we both got in trouble for it. They decided that we needed to really learn this lesson, so they threw the book at us, whatever the full thing was.
Wow.
And I can't remember all the details, but I remember at 18 getting some paperwork saying this has been cleared or whatever. So I don't know. It was a weird thing, and you'd think that having that between us, we had that experience.
Right, a little common, right? It would be the crime that brings you together.
It didn't do it. It didn't do it, man. Aww. I know. I'm still a little sad about it right now, actually.
Maybe if they locked you guys up in confinement, not solitary, but I guess dual confinement, because...
Yeah, one of those, what do they call those rooms? Like consummation rooms. What are they called in prison where you go? A conjugal visit.
Conjugal visit. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, baby.
There you go.
Well, anyway, she's done fine for herself. She married a nice guy and had a bunch of kids, and she's fine. She did fine.
Good.
All right. Moving on to this one from Guacmar. Guacmar's in the chat, I believe, as well. Can today. I? He says, Guacmar's lightning strike. So we asked for anyone else who had a lightning strike story. Says, hello, when I was in college, I, too, forgot to go to jury duty. Oh, wait.
Yeah, this doesn't have anything to do with
this
lightning.
This got pasted twice. Hold on a second. How did I do
that?
Oh,
it's the same. It's the same email.
Dang it.
I didn't even notice that. It's funny. I read the Tanner one.
Yeah, what I've done here, which is probably obvious, is I have double pasted something.
And sure, hold on. Sure.
Guac. He spelled Guacmar.
Cut and paste and paste and paste and paste and paste.
Guacmar. How do you spell Guacmar?
Yeah, with an L. Gwalk.
Oh, there it is. All right, we're finding it. All right, his lightning strike in 92. I just didn't paste it right. You know, you got to pay attention when you do this stuff.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
He says this. Dear Sauerkraut and Bratz, like most lightning strike victims, mine was more indirect electrocution than direct strike. Let me make sense of that. Excuse me. Summer of 1992. Remember that? It was a great year.
The summer of 92.
I got my first real six. It would still be a six string.
Got my Nintendo 64. Bought it at the Five and Dime.
Wait, that's too early. It would have been a...
Yeah, it's too early. I know.
SNES.
I know.
You'd have gotten your SNES then.
Bought my Super Nintendo Virtual Boy.
I don't remember what year that was. All right.
I don't either.
Summer of 92. He's at Rose Holman Institute of Technology in Terre Haute, Indiana. Terre Haute, Indiana. For a high school summer school program. I was an upcoming senior in high school. It was lightly raining outside, and I had gone downstairs to the dorm, to the common room. Mystery Science Theater 3000's Santa Claus versus the Martians. We've done that on FilmSack, by the way.
Yeah.
I was on the TV, and I sit down with my feet on the metal air conditioner until unit less than a couple of feet from the big metal door that separates the inside from the outside. Lightning struck outside the window, traveled through the AC unit and up my leg, then bumped my side into the door.
Jumped.
Did I say bumped? I meant jumped. From my side into the door, like a giant...
How do your eyes work?
I just cannot. They're not great. They're kind of garbage. I fall back out of the chair, and my only notice of what happened was the other people in the commons asking if I was okay and if I saw the bolt of blue jump out of me. No other symptoms or burns. I was lucky. I now have a healthy respect for lightning now, and for several years I would run and hide at the sight of a storm. Not so much now. This doesn't even count the time I played chicken with a parking lot and lost. With a parked car lost. Car. See? Again, my brain, my eyes, they're not great. Or falling off a 20 to 30 foot cliff onto my back, same year as the game of chicken.
Ow.
Or electrocuting myself at my previous job frying chicken. Well, you can't not tell me more about chicken electrocution frying.
I know. I guess we need more chicken stories.
Yeah, we're asking for more chicken stories. Will you give us more chicken stories? Because we'd love to hear. All right, Guacmar, I'm glad you're okay, though, dude. I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, no kidding. You're fine. Well, we got stories for eons from Guacmar that we can always pull from that well. When we start talking about electrocution from frying chicken or falling off cliff stories, then he can write in and tell us those stories right there.
Yeah, fill us in. We'd love it. Hey, yeah. Brian, you saw a movie. What was it?
I did. Went to the theater, so I can't use this as a recommendal. It's kind of surprising to me, though, that this one's not on HBO Max because it is a Max original. It's produced by HBO Max. So kind of surprised that this one wasn't released day and date in theaters and on streaming. But the movie's called Roadrunner. And it's not about
Anthony Bourdain thing.
This is the Anthony Bourdain thing. And I used to really hate, didn't used to really hate Anthony Bourdain. I just didn't get Anthony Bourdain, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we started watching more of his shows, and I started to like him more than I like most cooking or travel television hosts.
Right.
I think his sarcastic wit, I think, was great. His narration, he didn't feel like a guy who walked in and said, I'm in Paris, France, and here's the lovely, baguette vendor. Da, 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 da. He's like, no. He walks in and says, well, I'm in Paris. I guess the thing to do is have a baguette. So I'm going to go get a baguette.
Yeah.
It's good. It's just bread. It's street bread. Blah, blah,
blah. There's a certain sour sarcasm to the man that seems like he might be unpleasant in person, but it works pretty well for his shows and stuff.
And man, when you watch this documentary, which is great, and it's one of these that we talked about this, I think, last week when you recommended another documentary, that it's not done with narration. It's done purely with interviews. And because this guy is a television host, there's so much content of his that is him talking that wasn't from a TV show. Lots of behind the scenes stuff and lots of stuff where you're getting kind of the insight on who he was. And I had an appreciation for his stuff. I've got an even bigger new appreciation for what he brought. And man, the demons this guy had. I mean, he was a heroin addict for a while. That kind of carried through, and he was a little bit manic. Like, his highs were really high, his lows were really low. Mm-hmm. And really, he was more of a shy kind of introvert than you'd ever guess from watching his show.
Mm-hmm.
It got worse and worse over the years, but at times, they'd stop filming and he would just kind of retreat to his hotel room and just kind of have solitude. He'd be in these gorgeous places around, in these amazing parts of the world, and he'd want to just kind of hide in his hotel room.
Have you heard this controversy about the AI driven voice thing?
I did. And I'm glad I heard about it beforehand because I was looking for it. I was thinking, all right, I wonder if I'm going to be able to tell where it is. And if it's what I think it is, then it was very obvious, and it was used in what I consider to be the right way.
Mm.
One of his friends was reading a note email that he had gotten from him.
Yeah, email, I thought, yeah.
Yeah, and it went from being in his friend's voice to being in Anthony Bourdain's voice, and the impact of hearing what he said in his own quote unquote in his own voice was far more than you would have gotten if it was just the friend reading the email out loud.
Right.
So,
but it does introduce interesting questions, right? Like
it does. Right.
First of all, the show, ethics. The movie doesn't tell you that. So you have to find out later. And that I think is problematic. Like you'd have to do is put a little subtitle that says, read in a reconstruction of Anthony Bourdain's voice or something. And then people would go, oh, okay, well, that's what they're doing right now. And then later, that's not that. And you create a distinction. Mm-hmm. But I could see the value in it for bringing some of this sort of written stuff to life in lots of ways, like not just here, but in lots of other examples. But I think this is going to spark an ethics debate about how to how to handle it.
Yeah. How it can be presented and how it can be legally prefaced so that nobody's getting fooled by something that isn't real.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You have to do that work, I think, or else you're just
and I don't know,
asking for
it. I don't know. I feel like that would have taken me out of the movie if there was a little subtitle, but at the very beginning of the movie, maybe they say, during the opening credits, some voices or some of Anthony Bourdain's statements have been recreated from, I don't know, using deep fake technology. I don't know the way to word it. And that's probably why this is going to be such a hotly debated topic.
It is hard to say, or it's hard to, but we don't have a language for it yet. We don't know what to call it.
Yeah. How do we communicate it?
Yeah. I'm trying to find the line. I think there's probably recorded somewhere, right? I want to hear it actually.
Jedi 71 asked, did it sound fake? Could I tell which line was AI? No, but, I only knew because Anthony Bourdain wouldn't have said the exact thing that he said in an email to a recording or to an interview.
Right. No, I could. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I like you knowing it going in obviously made a difference, but I wonder if somebody saw it and was like, oh, wow, he read some of his own emails before his passing. This is amazing. Yeah. And then you find out later, no, that was all they had a computer do that. You'd be like, well, what else did they have the computer do? You know, like I can see why this is a problem for people.
Yeah. Tom Norm, I think, is pretty close. He says dramatic voice reenactment. I think digital, this movie contains digital recreations of the subject's voices or something like that.
Yeah. Do that. Digital recreations of their written word or something like that.
I was 100% fine with the fact that they did it. I do agree that, that if I hadn't have heard the controversy about it and known to look for it, I don't know, maybe I would have said, well, wow, he wrote this really deep, heartfelt note to his friend, but then he also said this to an interview, it would change the context for me not knowing that it was digitally recreated.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm very interested in seeing it. We had kind of a similar thing happen with him because at first I found him kind of off-putting and then watched a bunch of his stuff and went, oh, no, this is great. This is beyond the normal travel/food.
Totally.
This goes into like poetic places and really interesting sort of ethereal places.
Philosophical. Like exactly.
Yeah, which is great. And he'll be missed for all that. But
sure. It was his show, his episode about Japan that made us find that robot carnival thing, that robot, which was one of our favorite things that we did on that trip.
Yeah. See, you owe him a piece of gratitude. Well done.
I do. Absolutely. Yes.
Well, there you go. Mini review from Brian here on this.
A mini review. Roadrunner in theaters now.
Yep.
I'm assuming on HBO Max very, very soon. It feels like this will be...
And no spoilers, but I'll bet he gets that Wile E. Coyote again.
He does.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Dunaway time.
Dunaway!
Yep. That's what we call it here on the show, Dunaway time. It's time with Dunaway. And also you guys, which we'll take your call in a minute. Before that, though, we have to welcome him here. And he is currently ringing in, and here it is. Hey, check it out, everybody. It's time for Battle Royale Tadpooley Feud Edition. Welcome Brian Dunaway to the program. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hey, man.
Oh, hi, Brian Dunaway. Join the feud server, dude.
I don't wanna.
You have to.
I'm just gonna make buzzy noises.
You have to.
Okay.
You have
all right.
to. You gotta get
no,
in there.
No, I've changed my mind. Hold on a second. I'm working on it.
All right. He's getting in there. The way we do this is we have a listener play along. And
oh. I've lost my. Oh no! Wait, I see it.
Yeah.
I think I lost my pins because somebody kicked me out.
Yeah, you don't want
pins.
That.
Do you want? You need your password.
You need all your info. Yeah. You need
Where'd
your
they
info.
All go?
Well, they should be pinned. Oh, I see what you're saying. You've lost your pins in Discord.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see anything pinned anymore.
Well, here, let me give it to you just in this Discord.
Doesn't have any pins.
There it is. There's your link. Use that right there.
Well, no, he's got the link. I think he's saying he doesn't have the password.
Oh, mine's stored.
Where's the... Yeah, I know. Where's... don't we have a... We have a... Here, why don't you get it? Pull in a contestant, Scott, while I...
Yeah, I can
right.
totally do that.
While we troubleshoot.
Let's find out who this is waiting very patiently. Good morning. Who's this? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hello?
This is Kevin.
Hello? Well, hello, Kevin. What's going on, Kevin? How are you, Kevin?
Wow, I'm surprised you're on.
Well, I'm happy to have you on. Kevin, where are you from? Where do you live?
Concord, California.
Yeah, Concord, man. That's the place to be.
Concord.
I don't know if that is or not. Might be nice. I have no idea.
I don't know where Concord is.
I don't either. But
I like the grape jelly.
I hope it's not. Yeah, that's the home of it. I hope it's not all methy. Like, I know there's parts of California that are super methy. I hope you're not in the methy town, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no.
It's a little there.
A little methy.
It's a little methy.
That's awesome. All right. Well, welcome to the show. You're going to be our contestant today. And this will all start
yeah,
shortly.
I'm still struggling to find... I'm trying to find it's pinned in our conversation, the three person conversation we had, but I can't find that three person conversation we had.
I can't either.
What happened, man?
Yeah.
What
I don't know.
What
I think it got deleted. Can that get deleted?
So do you not have you don't have the password stored in your browser there, Dunaway?
No, Scott, I don't store passwords yeah? in my browser.
Yeah? No, why? What? No, hold on. Let's get into this. Why not? Why not have it in there? What's the problem?
Because occasionally my children use my login to log into stuff, and I don't want them logging into all my things. So just best practice, just don't save it.
Yeah, I feel
you. All right, okay.
I feel you. And now it's biting us in the ass.
Let me see if I can find. Oh, I think I might. Let's see.
I just don't let my kids anywhere near my computer. But yeah.
If you can find, I'm looking, but if you have the password somewhere as well.
Mine's stored, but it won't show me what it is.
Stored password is great, isn't it?
It worked great for me.
Tell me why, Scott. Why do you store your password?
Because it gets me into stuff real fast without me having to think too much about it.
Yeah.
And I have one master password to get in my computer.
What happens
when
somebody changes the password? Then what?
They won't be able to because they can't get in my computer without that password.
Not the one local moron.
I haven't been called a moron in a long time.
You moron.
I kind of like it. All right.
I worked 16 hours yesterday.
I found it.
I
found it.
Goofy.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
You guys, I found it. Okay, that link I sent you, Dunaway, you use that. Right. And then here
Got it.
The deets.
The deets.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's just for me. I assume that's for everybody.
No, it's the same. Okay. It's the same. Yeah, of course, there it is. Yep.
Yeah, I saved it.
Should remember that one. Jeez.
I forgot I put this. I always try to keep notes, and I put them in, what do you call it when something's super protected? It's called, it's
encrypted.
Encrypted. It's encrypted, but I'm a moron, so who knows?
You moron.
Yeah, you moron. All right. Are you in? You're in. Nope, you're not in yet.
All right. No, I'm working on it. I'm copy-pasting, man.
All right.
Come on, I'm putting it in my clipboard so somebody can steal it.
Yeah, put it in your clipboard so someone can capture that and then use it on the dark web. Oh, there he is.
Whereabouts is Concord, Kevin?
It's a Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay,
northern.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
I wonder if I've been up there, like so by Fairfield and what else is up there? Okay, I might have been there because I did a whole sweep up that side of the Bay Area. Fairfield, Vacaville, okay. Vallejo.
All those Contra Costa Times. Do you know that?
Yes. Yes, I did the, yeah. Okay, Contra Costa Times.
Of course. Look, of course
yes.
You did. This is all north of Oakland, I think, right? All that.
I had to use, there was a special code I had to use to get into the newspaper, the Contra Costa code, and it was up, down, left, right.
I see what you did there. That's good. That's good. I'm glad we're giving away video games today because it's in the theme. All right. Brian's finally in. Let me just test this buzzer. Yeah, it totally works. Okay. All Brian's right. now going to explain all this shite and how you're going to win and what it'll be that you'll win.
That's right. It's time to play the Tadpooley feud. Not the family feud. I've the Familia feud. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics, and Scott and Brian will have to predict the answers that they gave us. It's Scott and Brian's job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Kevin, your job is more important than ever because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian, and if your team wins, you'll get a prize package. That includes Hotshot Racing and Peaky Blinders Mastermind on Steam, courtesy of Wesley.
Hotshot Racing is awesome. So it's like back in the day, you remember like Virtua Racing and kind of these low poly, but kind of, I don't know, 3D racing games, but they were like low polygon looking stuff. Yeah, this is like a love letter to that. It's like a brand new game, but it's awesome. Oh, cool. It's so well made. It's real, real good. You're going to love it.
That's very cool.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm even going to do something different for you because of the topic. I'll let you choose after both guys have given their first answers. I will let you choose which team you want to be on, which player you want to play with, because that might be a factor for this game.
You'll have to ask yourself, do you want to work with the security expert from the South? Do you want to work with the moron in the West? Which one do you want?
Look, I hardly ever log in anything anymore that doesn't have two factors, so I don't usually store anything.
No, you're not wrong to do that. It's actually smarter what you're doing, but
maybe.
All right. Well, that sounds good. He can choose. I like choose. Choice is good.
Yes. Yeah. Choice is always good. All right. Well, let's do this here. Hands on buzzards. Buzzards.
Buzzards.
Put your hands on your buzzards. We asked 372 tadpoolers answered this one.
Okay.
And got their answer to this. What's your default mixed drink order at a bar? And if you're a non-drinker, what do you think you'd order if you drank? Scott.
Default mixed drink?
Yes.
Rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke. Show me rum and Coke.
Number two
answer.
Yeah. Wow, that one was answer, pretty good.
One answer will beat it.
I don't even drink. I know. Yes. I have enough friends.
I know what I always go for, but I'm stupid. I always get you can never go wrong with a screwdriver, but I mean, I don't know if I'm just a weirdo or what.
All right, show me screwdriver.
Oh, wow, see, that's what I figured. Man. Does anybody even drink those anymore? Is he even there in this drink?
Screwdriver number 18 on the list.
Nice. So there you go. So guy who picks a bad one or guy who never drinks.
Yeah.
Your choice.
Yeah, that's your choice, exactly. That's why I'm giving you the choice, Kevin.
Yeah, 1974 called. They want their drink back. Okay, Kevin. Right. Kevin, based on those reactions, who do you want to tie your wagon to here today?
I still enjoy a good screwdriver, too, so...
Yeah.
Brian.
Good.
Definitely.
All right.
You're gonna play with Brian. All right. Sounds good.
I like it.
Okay. Now, that said, Scott still has possession of the board. He gets to give the next answer until he gets a strike, but...
Board possession.
Keep in mind, he's a non-drinker. What does he know?
Yeah, I don't know, Jack. Speaking of Jack...
Jack and Coke.
Yeah. all right, let's do... I mean, it's still a mixed drink, right? So let's pina colada, maybe? I don't know.
That's a good one. All right. See? Scott knows some popular culture drinks.
I don't know.
If you like pina coladas.
Dang it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Shit.
On the list, but down at number 14. So close.
Wow. Okay.
No cigar. So, Brian and Kevin, you guys have control of the board.
I know that Ibit likes a good gin and tonic. Is that going to be up there, you think?
That's what I should have said.
Ooh, yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
Gin and tonic. Let's get another old man drink.
All right. Show me gin and tonic.
Number one. Yeah,
keeps the scurvy away with that.
Yes.
By the way, do you love that every week we do a Tadpooley feud, we get like three emails of people saying we're scoring it wrong? I think that's always fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
Exactly. That means we're scoring it right.
Yeah, it means we're doing it right.
I don't even understand the scoring because some weeks I think, hot dog, I'm winning. Yeah. And I'm like, no.
The scoring, because we figured out that it's way more common for you guys to get those first answers initially on your control of the board. And because of that, you mathematically eliminate the other player really quickly.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But the lower answers are harder to get. Those should be worth more points than the top one. We do reverse scoring than the way Richard Dawson. It's reverse. We're doing the reverse Richard Dawson is what we're doing.
Ew, that's a sex move I don't want to know about. I really
don't.
The reverse Richard Dawson.
The reverse Richard Dawson.
What about a little kiss there? A little kiss.
Yeah, a little kiss. All right, it's on you guys.
Actually, somebody did have a suggestion that I might employ soon, but I have to look at the email and figure out how to do it. Okay, anyway, Brian and Kevin, you guys still have control of the board.
Yeah.
Do you have something that's awesome? Because if not, I'm just going to, I won't mind my martini.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about an apple teeny.
Oh, those are good. People like those.
Are all the teenies going to fall into the same category, maybe?
I don't know, Brian.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
We're going to go with...
Answer that?
We're going to go with teenies.
All right. Go with teenies. Show me any sort of teeny.
Oh, what?
Come on. Are you serious?
You got to be kidding me. That shocks me.
Martini and all assorted teenies. Number 17 on the list. Okay. 17-y.
17-y? 17-y.
17-y.
When I was 17-y. All right.
Not super popular, the teenies.
Let's do a peach schnapps.
Ooh.
Okay, all right.
I don't even know what that is, but let's do it. Let's do it.
You puked on it. No, you didn't. You puked on a...
What did I puke on?
A frozen peach drink, but it wasn't peach schnapps. It wasn't alcoholic, right?
I don't remember puking on it.
From Chi-Chi's? Didn't you throw up all over
it? Yeah, back in the day. It was a virgin margarita and...
that's what it was.
Strawberry daiquiri. That's what it was. And it was a nightmare. Oh, I can't believe you remember that story. It's an awful story. Oh my gosh.
Yep. All right. Well, that's all right. We're on the peach schnapps. Show me peach schnapps.
Damn it.
Yeah. Technically, it's a liqueur. It's not a mixed drink. It's not mixed with anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Except
really?
Your face. Oh, I didn't know that. Except your face.
Except your face.
Except your liver tissue. That's the only thing.
Right. Exactly.
All right. I didn't go to jail, Jesse Calhoun.
Now, Scott just said margarita. Do you think that's up there? Do you think
that sounds drink mixy, doesn't it?
Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
Ooh, Long Island iced tea. Boy, that is a mixed drink from hell. All right, I'm gonna go with Long Island iced tea. I'm gonna agree with that.
All right.
Show me the drink that mixes all the drinks. The Long Island iced tea.
The most mixed. Look at that.
Got it. Number four on the board.
Those dang Long Island alcoholics.
Yeah, that's basically if you just get to the bar and say, oh, I don't know which alcohol I'd like. Oh, I know. I'll have all of them.
I just really want to get drunk really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard a story that it's like all the leftover, like in the bottles, like, oh, this is almost done. This is almost done. Let's throw into one drink.
Yeah.
That's probably how it got created.
Yeah, it's gross. Right. That's how I used to do the fountain machine at the 7-Eleven when I was a kid.
Right.
Just go in there, go, juke, juke, juke. We called it swamp water, and it was amazing. Anyway, continue on. You guys are the winners right now. Continue.
Still I prefer it without tequila.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to go with, do you think we should still go with margaritas now? How about now?
Well, yeah, let's go with that.
All right. Margaritas.
All right.
Well, you don't sound so sure. We can do something else. Well, get another one.
I do have one more. I do have one
do
more,
it.
I think. Irish Car Bomb.
Irish Car Bomb? Is that a thing?
Nice.
Is that a thing? Is that hey, Claire, is that offensive to hear about an Irish Car Bomb? I've never heard of that. That's amazing.
All right. I'm going with that. Yeah, Irish car bomb. I'm going to go with that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Show me an Irish car bomb. One person said that, but they actually even provided the recipe. 3/4 of a pint of Guinness, 3/4 shot of Jameson, 1/4 shot of Bailey's. Then you drop the shot glass into the Guinness and then drink the entire glass before it all foams over your table.
But it's one of those things that's like, if you drink Irish car bombs, you drink them, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You forget about the important ingredient, 40 years of mistrust of the throne. You got to have that.
Exactly. I've actually never had an Irish car bomb. And I don't know, when I get to Dublin, it probably isn't something I should order from the bar, right?
Yeah, don't ask for that one. I don't know.
Here we just call them car bombs.
Yeah, they're not Irish here.
I'm a Scottish bartender working in Dublin.
That's just a diet Sprite, you idiot.
All right. Let's go. I'm going to steal their thing they didn't use and say margarita.
That's a very good idea. Show me margarita. Number three answer on the board.
Margarita. One of my favorites, too. Margarita. So salty.
Yeah, I like a virgin margarita. They're very good.
I had a delicious one on Friday. I even tweeted a photo of it. Tina and I both enjoyed a couple lovely margaritas from a very close restaurant.
I remember that that photo. All right, let's see if I can't pull this out here. Let's go with
tie game, by the way. Five points each.
Yeah.
Take that, people who think we score this wrong.
no kidding.
It's a real barn burner.
I mean, I said rum and coke earlier, and then Brian said Jack and Coke after I said I don't know Jack. And now I'm wondering if maybe Jack and Coke is on there, because it's not the same as rum and coke. So I'm going to say Jack and Coke.
Okay. Do you know what Jack is?
Jack Daniel's whiskey, right?
Whiskey. There you go. All right. Show me Jack and Coke. Yep. Ugh, whiskey and Coke, Jack and Coke.
I'm not into whiskey.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it was whiskey. All right. Let's do... see, this is... I'm running out.
I know. This is why this is such a fun topic for... I was really hoping you guys would come up with, or at least you, Scout, would come up with some weird combinations.
Well, that's where I'm at.
And,
that's kind of where I'm at. That is exactly where I'm at.
Lemon Oreos.
Some Klingon drink or something.
Right, exactly. Yes.
A slippery pud. Let's go with a slippery pud.
Slippery pud.
That's a drink.
Are you really, with your own?
Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. I have nothing.
All right, show me a slippery pud.
Oh, I'd be so mad.
We're totally making that the official drink next time we do a TMS Vegas. We're going to invent a drink at the Millennium Fandom called the Slippery Pud, and it's going to be the special that night.
I mean, why not? They all have funny names like that. So, but that means I'm dead, right? They just can know.
Yeah, it means you're dead. Brian and Kevin have one more guess. They need six or more points. So they need either answer 7, 8, 9, or 10 or any combination, including 5. To win this one, pull it out.
Well, no risk. So I still, now I can just mention things because we don't have to worry about Scott stealing them. Things I was thinking about was the Bloody Mary. Also, the dude, he loves the Russian, right? The White Russian.
Oh, Moscow Mule. Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, which one was that? Or the Mule?
The Moscow Mule or
Moscow Mule, that's a good one.
More popular.
Let's go with the Moscow Mule, baby.
All right. Okay. Show me that Moscow Mule in a nice copper cup. Number 9.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that one.
Yeah, it's vodka and ginger ale with lime served in a copper cup because the copper helps. It gets colder than a glass.
Yeah.
Transmits the cold better, and apparently it claims to change the flavor of the drink. Love it. I like Moscow Mules.
You like a Moscow Mule. All right.
Well, I'm going to say Bloody Mary. So I said the third time. So I expect her to show up anytime now. Yeah. Go Bloody Mary.
All right.
Fourth time.
Show me that Bloody Mary.
Man.
Where's Bloody Mary on the list?
I am such an old man drink mixer, probably.
Number 16 on the list, by the way, Bloody Mary. That's all right. You guys won. Let's see what those remaining answers were. A lot of Wisconsiners in the tadpole, apparently, because number 5 is
an old-fashioned.
Fashioned.
Gosh,
wow.
Muddle those cherries.
Right.
Brian, you mentioned this one earlier. Show me number 7. White Russian.
Yes, the dude.
The dude's favorite drink.
Yeah.
Show me number 8.
Whiskey sour.
Sour. Gosh, dang it.
You were about to say, Kevin?
Whiskey sours are good.
It is.
Yes, they are.
Good choice. Yep.
Yeah, good answer.
And then show me number 10, a drink named after a city. Manhattan.
The Manhattan. Who orders a Manhattan?
Weirdos do.
Weirdos do. Far fewer funny answers, but things like vodka cranberry, which is either a Cape Cod or a sea breeze, depending on how you serve it. Amaretto sour, mojito, bourbon and Coke or bourbon and ginger ale.
Red Bull and vodka. Everybody loves that.
There were a few Red Bull and vodkas. Lynchburg lemonades. Sex on the beach. I don't know what another Caucasian Gary. I don't know what that is, but somebody said that. Another Caucasian Gary.
Okay.
Bundy and Coke, which apparently is Australian. Captain and Dr. Pepper, which somebody says, trust me, it's great. Cola Vetzen, which is cola and wheat beer, somebody thinks is good. Let's see.
Somebody thinks
that's good. Yeah. A Grateful Dead, I don't even know if that's a drink or if somebody just read the question wrong. Irish coffee, I love those.
Yes.
A Knickerbocker Knocker, which I'm going to have to order the next time I go somewhere.
Yeah.
And finally, a slow, comfortable screw up against the wall, which is a combination of a slow gin, Harvey Wallbanger, and a screwdriver.
Wow. Is that real?
Yes, it's a real thing.
That's real? Oh, my Lord. All right. I'm surprised that, what was the other, the one? I don't like the sex on the beach one because that sounds like a thing that has sand in it that you can't get out. You know what I mean?
Right. The drink that puts sand in places that sand just shouldn't go.
Yeah, yes. I don't like it. I'm going full of Darth Vader on that. All right. Well done. This is what that means.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You've won these two codes. I think you should be proud of your work here, Kevin. Do you have anything to say about your win?
I'm glad I went to so many bars.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah. Me too. It's all paid off finally. It all paid off in the end. Well done. Congratulations. It was great having you. Brian Dunaway, the same could be said of you. Having you here is a real treat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do too.
I look forward to my Mondays and Wednesdays with you guys and the Saturdays too.
Yeah.
Film Sack.
Yeah. Film Sack and your upcoming podcast about password security. I'm looking forward to that one. That's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
Let us know when you have a name and we'll see you this weekend for Film Sack. I cut him out.
By the way, Miravina corrected me. Jack Daniels is a bourbon, not a whiskey.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I think what bourbon is just aged in burnt barrels, isn't that the deal? Charred barrels.
Charred barrels.
Whiskey that's aged in charred barrels. But I think I maybe uses a different kind of mash. I can't remember the difference between. I used to know the difference between bourbon and whiskey.
But, you like whiskey and bourbon? Or are they on your list of things?
I'm not a fan of bourbon and whiskey.
That's more bourbon of a Randy. That's a Randy Deluxe thing for sure. He loves that.
It totally is. I know but he's a Scotch guy. He loves Scotch.
Oh, that's true. He's probably drinking it now, to be honest. For being honest, it's going down his gullet right now. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we return, the triumphant weekly return of Tom Merritt. He'll be here to talk about some tech news and some other stuff. So looking forward to that greatly. Watch for that coming up here shortly. Before that, though, a meaningful song selection from Brian Ibbett.
Ooh, meaningful. I like this. By the way, this song is brought to you by Soundography. Brand new episode just went up on the feed yesterday. We had a special guest on Soundography, Lady Monica, Wicked Kitten 13 in the chat room. She made Hammond and I listen to an album that she loves tremendously. Mm. And we ended up really liking it, too. We were really surprised as to what it was because I never would have connected it with Monica. And you'll have to listen to find out what it is. That's soundography.com. The latest episode is You Gotta Listen to This.
Nice.
All right, let's get to a Los Angeles band here. This is a band called Tennis System.
Whoa.
That's right. Tennis System. They have a brand new album that's called Autophobia that comes out soon. I don't have the date right here in front of me, but, these guys are, some great, dream pop here. This is their brand new single from the upcoming album Autophobia. It's called Dizzy.
guys. Let's talk about Blue Chew. You know, it's summer and camping season. Let's talk about those tents you got to pitch. That's right. This episode's brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, confidence can take you far in life. It can also help you in that bedroom, especially when it comes time to step up to the plate, if you know what I'm saying. That's where Blue Chew comes in. It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. And the best part, it's all done online. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Ew, nobody likes that. They're also made right here in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door in a very discreet package. You can take them anytime, day or night, doesn't matter. Plan ahead if you want, or when the opportunity arises. Ah, it's pretty awesome. Tear them open, put them down, you're good to go. So, we have a special deal for our listeners. And find out how Blue Chew can help you by trying it for free. When you use the promo code TMS at checkout, just pay $5 shipping. That's blue like the color blue, bluechew.com. And use the promo code TMS. Receive that first month for free. And get that $5 off on the shipping. Pretty great. Visit bluechew.com for more details and more important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the show today.
These tiny balls must collide, stick, and grow.
This is the Morning Stream. That's some sweet weed, man.
Welcome back to the show. That song again.
That song again is Tennis System, not Dream Pop. It's more of like a rocker. That's their song Dizzy from their upcoming album Autophobia. The band is Tennis System.
Sounds all right. I'm trying to think what a tennis system would be in actual tennis.
I know. Tennis system. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a total tennis system, if you ask me.
Yeah. I know this. It's a Unix system kind of deal. Yeah.
Right, yes.
That sounds right. All right, check this out, everybody.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt. He joins us once again from his triumphant studio. Doesn't make sense. In Los Angeles, California, and we're really happy to have him here to talk about some tech news. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me back, Brian and Scott. Scott and Brian.
Thanks, man. Really good to have you here. We miss it when we're not up on tech news. So when you come on here, it kind of makes everything all right again.
We feel smarter once you're done with us.
Yeah.
Hopefully you understand a little more. That's the idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's your new podcast. Understand a little more.
Daily Tech News Understanding.
It's a lot like Know a Little More, so maybe we need to work on that name.
Daily
anyway.
Tech Understanding Show. Deetus.
It's not bad. Deetus. It's not bad.
It sounds like a cough medicine.
Yeah, it kind of does. Right. You're not wrong. Anyway, it's good to have you here. As always, I would assume that there's some sort of tech news percolating at the top of the day. What's going on?
Oh, there's lots. Tumblr is going to let people subscribe to creators, stuff like that. But the thing that's got my eye right now is Netflix earnings report. And if you're not following this closely, depending on where you look, you're going to think this was really bad or really good. Because like a lot of earnings reports, the headlines always want to tilt you one way or another. And most earnings reports have a little good and a little bad. So the bad you're going to see is that Netflix lost 430,000 subscribers domestically. That's Whoa. Canada and the U.S. And their earnings per share missed the mark. So they were less profitable than people expected. But I think the good might outweigh it. Their revenue came in a little above expectations. So they brought in the money they expected. It just sounds like maybe their costs were a little higher than they expected. And they added 1.54 million subscribers worldwide. So when you count that they lost almost 500,000 in North America, that means they added 2 million in the rest of the world outside of Canada and the US. So they're doing good. They're doing what they want. This is not the best shining example of a Netflix earnings report, but what Netflix knows it needs to do is expand in the rest of the world, and that's what it's doing. The fact that it dropped a bit domestically, I think was expected. I don't think they're shocked by that, especially because they've had to raise their prices in Canada and the US. They had a huge increase during lockdowns, and now the lockdowns are easing, especially in the United States. More people are going out to do other things and thinking, well, maybe I don't need that Netflix subscription anymore. So none of this is surprising. The big surprise for people, if you hadn't heard the rumors percolating for the last couple of weeks, is that Netflix is getting into gaming.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be. So what my big takeaway from all of this is that for the loss of subscribership, it really probably has not much to do with any one competitor as much as it has to do with the factors you already mentioned about, you know, easing of lockdowns, people unsubscribing, price increases and everything else. But maybe just the combined effect of all of those new competitors all kind of happening, not all at once, but in pretty quick succession. Max, Disney Plus, Peacock, everybody else and their dog getting a streaming service. That has to erode your base a little, right?
Yeah, my dog Ray's streaming service really, you know, took a bite out of Netflix.
Yeah, my dog's streaming service sucks. But anyway, what I was going to say also is the gaming thing. So this is really interesting because I actually think that this maybe puts them potentially in a position to be the biggest competitor if they're going to go after what I think they're going to go after, which is, you know, mainstream big name games, things like Destiny and Fortnite and all the normals that you see everywhere on Stadia and everything else, but in a more of a Netflix program, which means you're going to pay maybe a little more per month or maybe not at all, and then you're going to have access to these games. They're going to be streamed content the way xCloud and Stadia and others are doing. And if they do it right, given their base, this could make them like the only real, you know, at least one of the bigger competitors in the space because they're Netflix. So I actually think there's a lot to this and it could work out really well for them.
It's funny because I remember a time when back before streaming, when they were doing DVDs by mail, they tried doing the gaming thing then and they would send you games via mail. Right. And then that split off into Gamefly or like it got...
No, so they were they were trying to compete with Gamefly.
They were trying to compete with Gamefly. Yeah,
and then they did it for like a hot second and then stopped it entirely. And
right. Okay, so that service didn't go off and become something else. No. It was just
they just quit. Time as
Gamefly. I think you're right, Brian, that they sold it, but I don't think it ever turned it
down. Yeah, it never
They
really
may have even
anywhere.
Sold it to Gamefly and just
maybe Gamefly. Maybe
yeah, that's possible. It lasted seriously like a hot minute. It was so short. And it made me think, all right, well, that's it for them. They're never going to do anything in games. But nobody foresaw streaming in the way that we're seeing it now. Nobody thought that would be a thing. Mm. Not ironically, they use Amazon, I think, for all their back end. So it's Amazon AWS for Netflix, I believe, not Azure. Okay. So in a real way, this would be Microsoft's biggest competition to streaming game space as compared to xCloud. Compared to everybody else, because I mean, Stadia is interesting, but Stadia's got problems, and the biggest problem Stadia has is I got to pay $59 for a game I may already own somewhere else, and I can only play it on Stadia, and it's the only way to play it. And Xbox has got other ideas. This, if Netflix does this right, they could bring it into that kind of parity with what Xbox is offering, and enough third party development supports it. It could be a big deal. Because that's a lot of people. Just sync a controller to your Netflix account and bam, you're playing. Like, it's a big deal. I don't know if I'm over-hyping it or if I'm over-expecting what could happen here, but they just have to play their cards right. The problem is they don't have a track record worth mentioning in games. So, you know, who knows? This is all new territory. But,
yeah. So here's a quote from the shareholder letter. We view gaming as another new content category for us. Similar to our expansion into original films, animation, and unscripted TV, games will be included in members' Netflix subscription at no additional cost, similar to films and series. Initially, we'll be primarily focused on games for mobile devices. They also said they don't expect these to be profit pools for them. Here's my theory. Based on that, because none of that directly contradicts what you're saying, Scott. That just means like, we're going to start with mobile. We're going to start by not charging you, but it could absolutely grow into what you're talking about from there.
Sure.
I think though that because I've always been impressed by the fact that Netflix is always one step ahead. When everybody thinks, well, the obvious next step is this, Netflix is like, no, the obvious next step is streaming. Mm-hmm. No, the obvious next step is original content. And everybody's like, really? You're going to do streaming? Really? You're going to try to make your own shows? Mm-hmm. I think Netflix realizes that the value is intellectual property. Mm. The value is franchises. That's what Disney has with Marvel. That's what Disney has with Star Wars. That's what every company has and is trying to mine right now is, you know, Viacom, CBS, we've got Star Trek. Netflix needs to create those, just like they had to create original programming altogether to stay ahead of the decline of access into acquiring programs from other. They need to create intellectual property. And one of the ways you do that is podcasts, merchandise, and games.
Yeah.
And they've just added all three. They've doubled down on consumer merchandise, and they're going to increase what they're doing and increase their partnerships. They just hired someone to run podcasts for Netflix, and now they've hired someone to run mobile games. I think this is a play not to create a competitor to a Stadia or an xCloud, but merely to expand franchises. Mm. Bridgerton, Stranger Things, and others that are yet to come that we haven't seen yet.
I cannot wait for the Bridgerton mini game sex game they're going to have. It's going to be fantastic.
Count
all right.
On it. Right?
Now,
it won't be called that, but it'll be what it is.
It probably will.
Right. Right.
Mash that
button. It'll be a sim builder.
Yeah. Yeah.
City sim builder.
Just put them in a room, blur it out. Everything
yeah.
will be fine.
Yeah.
So I was reading in that letter they sent to shareholders. They basically said that they're more concerned about Fortnite than they are anything else. In the heading
been saying that for a while. That's true.
Under the heading of competition, the streaming service states, "We earn consumer screen time, both mobile and television, away from a very broad set of competitors. We compete and lose to Fortnite more than HBO." That's quite the statement to make. And I think points to what yeah. you're saying, which is they may not do what we think is obvious. They
have also said in the past, I think Reed Hastings said in the past, it might have been Sarandos, we compete with sleep.
Yeah.
Like they look at different things than people think they're looking at, right?
Right.
They don't look at Peacock and HBO. They look at like what takes up people's time? Well, sleep, Fortnite. You know, Fortnite also competes directly with sleep. And Netflix wants to be in that battle, that growth. So yeah, if they can create an intellectual property game, either based on an existing franchise or the game becomes the franchise and they spin out content from that, then that's the big win. That's the big move.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm more curious about this than I am most of these sorts of stories, just because there's a yeah. lot of people, a lot of money, a lot of big profile stuff now. It's not the Netflix of you know, DVDs in your mail anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a different realm. And I
remember back, you know, on Buzz Out Loud, hearing all the people in the audience like, streaming, nobody's got enough bandwidth for that. They'll never get the rights to enough shows. Right. It'll never work.
It won't work. Yeah. Yep. Here it is working.
Yeah.
Here it is overworking. All right. Well, awesome. This and more will be discussed today on the Daily Tech News Show. I'll be there today because that's my day. Wednesdays are the best days.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I'll be there a little bit later. Very excited about that. Tom, anything else going on in your world you'd like to mention to the fine folks at home?
Well, indeed. Scott Johnson just made some stellar album art for my new audiobook, Project Vera. Mm. So stay tuned and find out when it will drop on Audible. Project Vera is a story about a woman who gets swept up accidentally into being involved with a secret society who has directed the course of world events for centuries. And if you'd like to hear the audiobook and see the amazing album art that Scott made, you'll need to either go to Audible when it's out, or you can get a sneak peek right now at my writer's Patreon, patreon.com/acedetect.
Very, very nice. Do check it out, you guys. I had a really fun time making that. I've done this a couple of times for
so
Tom.
Good, man. So thank you for doing that. That's awesome.
Happy to do it. Tom Merritt, everybody. You know him as Ace Detect, so find him there on Twitter. Tom, we'll see you next time. Bye now. Okay.
Cool.
Tom has left.
Tom has left the building.
Nicole's not going to be happy with me today.
Oh, no. Why?
I think I have her recommendal. I think. I'm not sure.
Good. You know, about time you do it to her instead of me.
Yeah. It can't be you every time, right?
No, exactly.
Right. Let's play the, let's play her thing here. Where is it? Nicole Spack joins us as she does every Wednesday to do recommendals. Nicole, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, is this working?
I think so.
You're on a room mic, but.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. You don't sound terrible, though. You sound okay.
It's not horrible.
Mark upgraded my computer.
Yeah.
I do like the film noir light on your face, though. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. That is cool.
She was a recommendal dame, and she walked into my office like she needed something.
It was a dark, damp day in the middle of Colorado that day. And that dame walked in. I need some music that's good for that. Like,
that's
even better. All right.
Is that better?
I don't know. Say something again.
Something?
Yeah, it's better. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Way better. Yeah, you're fine. I mean, it was fine before. It was just room mic, but
I don't want to be on the room mic.
No.
Ain't
nobody does.
Hey, welcome back from California.
Yeah, how was your trip?
Thank you.
Jealous looking at all your photos from Disneyland that I just had to make my own plans.
you're gonna love it. We got in a car, drove for 2 days with the kids, went to Disney, and then did what I wanted to do, which was just be on the beach.
Yeah.
I haven't been to the beach in forever.
Yeah. That's my idea of a good time.
So we were in La Jolla.
Yeah.
La Jolla. Did you get yourself some In-N-Out burger while you were out there?
No, because I knew what would happen, because it would go out.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
It would go in and out.
It would go in and out.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Plus, it's not the big secret it is anymore, right? You guys have one out there. It's fine.
We have a few out here now, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a few, but the lines are like an hour long, and I don't care about In-N-Out.
Yeah,
it's a burger.
Ago.
It's good, but it's not an hour wait good.
And no.
If you've got a Freddy's anywhere near you, then that's just fine.
You know, I finally got through that Cane's, that Raising Cane's place. We finally got in there.
Oh, yeah, the chicken place.
That's really good because they got that crazy sauce, man. What the heck?
Yes.
That sauce is good.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it grew on me. I didn't like it at first.
Yeah, it's almost like a little, it's like a little sour, almost like you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, like a tartar ranch kind of thing without pickle chunks in it.
Yeah. My daughter goes, this tastes like a little like vomit. And I'm like, stop. Yeah, Taylor told me that at the time.
Hey, I love
that mug.
It's one of my
favorites. It's a frap. Yeah, it's one of my favorites that we ever did. We got to make more of those. Well, all right. We're going to get to it. Nicole, I'll probably hose you today. I don't know. I think we have the same recommendal. Yesterday, Jemaine Clement replied and quote tweeted me yesterday. Because I had a question about the show I'm watching. Yeah, that's the one you replied to. And so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he sees my tweet because I had asked for confirmation that these two characters from the show I'm going to do today were either from the movie or were they already existing and then were shown in the movie and then had their own show. Like, what was the origin of these characters? And the origin was the movie.
I can't wait to find out what this is.
You did it the lazy way. I actually bought the movie just so I could watch it to, like, verify.
Well, I already own it, so I guess I technically did that too. But, it's a long story. We'll get to all that, but I think Nicole and I share a recommendal today is what's going to happen.
Yeah, we are.
But in the meantime,
I have a clip too.
Brian, you got a little something, cool. Huh? We got two of these.
I've got two, and I know neither of you have picked this. Especially first one, which is the science fiction film from 2019 that nobody has ever heard of, yet has a 92% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn.
And you're going to hear a clip from that right now.
I'm excited about whatever this is. Here we go.
It was bigger than an airplane, but no one was allowed to see it. And there were guards surrounding all day.
Well, what'd it look like?
It was mostly smooth, but it looked broken or damaged because there were some rough patches.
You think it was American?
There was no way to know. You don't ask anything like that. We want to know just like anybody wants to know about something. But you trust your superiors, and you follow orders. But this one worried me.
And why is that?
Probably because it was so secretive.
Okay, so what happened next?
Well, we built the ceiling over this thing carefully, and then when they were done with us, staff got us all boarded on the plane. And when the propellers had started spinning and we were about to take off, and the radio started playing the sound.
What sound?
The same sound you just played tonight.
No idea.
All right. This is a movie called The Vast of Night.
Okay.
And it's on Amazon Prime. This is 1950s Cayuga, New Mexico. And the entire town, or most of the town, is in this is at the high school for a big basketball game. But a couple people who aren't working in there are the teenage disc jockey Everett, who you just heard there in that clip interviewing someone who knows about what might be going on, as well
Like Denzel Washington.
Bruce Davis, right? Bruce Davis
or Morgan Freeman a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. There's nobody in this that I have ever seen in anything before. These are all new actors.
His name is Bruce Davis, just for the record. I don't know what he's been in before. Okay. But, yeah. Not sure who he is.
There you go. Yeah. And then there's also a switchboard operator that is also not at the basketball game. They hear this weird noise coming through a phone line. She sends it over to her friend, the disc jockey, and that along with some other weird things that are going on in the town point to some sort of weird supernatural / alien event. This is what's great about this movie. And I won't say a whole lot more than that because there is a big mystery that surrounds it. What's great about this movie is how they're able to convey this feeling of suspense and science fiction without overtly having aliens running around or spaceships or things like that. Mm. I won't say what you do get as far as a payoff. But you do get a payoff. But you but so much of the film is them finding out all this information. It's just really, really well done. It's called The Vast of Night. Jake Horowitz is the disc jockey, and Sierra McCormick, who I guess has been in some. Let's see, she was on Supernatural. She played Lilith.
Oh, that's why she's familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the whole 1950s vibe, this, my description would be like Super 8 meets,
episode. That's what it is. Huh? She's on Curb Your Enthusiasm. She's what's her name's daughter. The teenage daughter you just talked about him yesterday. Can't think of anyone's name today.
Jeff Garland's teenage daughter.
Yes. Okay. That's her. I knew that's why she looked familiar. That was it. Anyway.
Anyway, it's like Super 8 meets that one really weird episode of the Twin Peaks most recent season.
So I remember hearing about this year ago or something. Somebody like IO9 was raving about it, going, this is the movie you're going to want to see. And then I completely forgot it existed.
Yeah.
So I wrote it down,
and finally she and I said, oh, let's watch this. It's been on our list forever, and I'm glad we did. It is it is so clever and well done that and so unexpected for something, again, that has a budget of $700,000 and is one of the most one of the best science fiction things I've seen recently.
Remember that time travel movie that you like a lot that seemed like
Primer?
Primer. It's like that.
Kinda. That's another good comparison. Super 8 meets Primer.
Yeah.
Really low budget, but still takes advantage of that low budget to make it feel more real and more suspenseful.
That's weird is the director, Andrew Patterson, is uncredited. Why? It's his only movie.
Oh,
he's
really?
Uncredited in here. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Oh, that's very interesting. I don't know why that would be.
It's really weird. And the only picture of him is... He's looking all like, I don't know. I don't know what he looks like. Ron Moore looking. He's got a beard so big, his whole head's lost in it.
He has like five sentences about him on Wikipedia, and that's it.
Yeah, weird.
He financed this movie himself. He wrote the script under the pseudonym James Montague. Weird. It got rejected by 18 film festivals, finally premiered at the 2019 Slam Dance Film Festival, where it won Best Narrative Feature Audience Award.
Hmm.
And a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Very nice. All right. This would have been on my radar anyway, but I completely forgot, so I'm glad to hear it somewhere. Oh, Amazon bought it up, and it's an original now.
Amazon bought it now. Here's the last thing on his Wikipedia. He has since made an as-yet-untitled film, a revenge thriller set in the honeybee industry.
What? Really?
A revenge thriller set in the honeybee industry. Awesome.
I'm actually interested in that. That sounds right. I am too. Wow. All right.
All right. Let's get to my second one. This is a series, and I think I've probably recommended other seasons, previous seasons in this series, but this will be my last chance to recommend this series.
All right, here you go.
Where were you last night? Overdid a little. Too much to drink. Fell asleep early. We missed the main event. Thanks for covering for me.
Forget it.
No, that's big. I owe you.
No sweat. A little short-handed. We managed. Lost a crucial witness who was a probable target, but hey, we'll figure it out. Or not.
I said I was sorry.
What's up with you, man?
What?
Last few months, you're a f***ing mope.
Excuse me? A mope?
Ever since what went down, off your game, big time.
F*** you, man. Look, I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
Still talking to the shrink?
For what it's worth.
Well, she helping?
She help you?
I didn't need help.
Neither do I.
No idea.
That's that is Bosch. You're hearing there Titus Welliver and his partner Jerry Edgar, played by Jamie
Hector.
How long
has this show been on? It's been on for a while.
Seven seasons. This is the final season. Just dropped on also on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. And the first season was 2013, I think, 2014.
Something like that.
Here it goes. 2015. So it's
okay.
It was a good year. Only six years. Yes, it was a good year. But we won't say why.
Yeah, we won't say why, but we know why. We know why it's a good year.
We know why. Yeah. Anyway, this is a great capper for what was an amazing series. Bosch. Bosch is one of these guys. He is a man by the book, LA detective. And so much so that, you know, when partners or other cops try to cut corners or do things differently, he calls them out. And I almost want to have like a picture of Titus Welliver as Bosch somewhere in my office to constantly remind me to straighten up and fly right. Because feels like that's what if I'm like, oh, maybe I can play a quick game of World of Warcraft or something. Brian, straighten up and fly right.
I'm actually excited because that means I've got like five seasons to catch up on.
Okay.
I didn't fall off because I didn't like it. I finished two and then was like stoked for three and then just never have gotten to it. So this is great. I can't wait to get back to it.
It's so great. It's a deep character. His daughter makes has a bigger role in this final season, as does Mimi Rogers, who plays an attorney that he butts heads with quite a bit. Or prosecutor that he butts heads with quite a bit. It's great. It's 10 episodes per season, I believe, seven seasons. If you've never watched it, you're in for a treat. Lance Reddick is probably one of the best things about this.
Oh,
you know,
so
Lance
good.
Reddick and his delivery of
so good, man. First time I ever saw the dude was on Lost.
Yeah.
And then
Fringe, I think.
Everything he's on.
Everything he's in, he's fantastic.
Yeah,
and
I love that guy. So cool.
Boy, he also very prominent in this final season. It's great stuff. That's called, it's called Bosch. It's also on, Amazon Prime, all seven seasons. Get to it, watch it, and, enjoy it.
Well, there you go. I like it, that show a lot. Now I'm going to play a clip that, may get Nicole and I started on a conversation. All right.
Okay.
So here's mine.
Can I get my audio one?
Oh, do you have a different one than I have? What do you have?
I sent it to you through Discord.
Oh, I
start.
That.
I'm gonna start trying to make my own clips.
Oh, all right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'll play.
This is my favorite clip of the show.
All right, let's play it. Hold on. I may have a volume issue. Hold on.
I want you to go and stake out this farm. It's definitely something sinister going on in the country.
Okay, so go back to that farm.
Hmm.
Okay. And what are we looking for specifically?
I want you to look for changes in the vegetation. I want you to look for UFOs. Definitely let me know if you see an alien.
Oh, yeah, we'd definitely let you know if we saw an alien, too. Mm.
I've got a question.
Yes.
If we identify a UFO, does that just mean it's an FO?
What a UFO?
UFO.
I think he wants us to go.
UFO.
All right. Let me play this one too. So we got double clips today.
Okay.
Here's
okay.
Another one.
Okay.
Can I call my parents?
She's just got a normal voice. I thought you said she had some kind of demonic man's voice.
Yeah, well, she did before.
Can I go home now?
She just seems like a normal teenage girl. This is not a case for the paranormal unit at all.
I had a whole speech plan and everything. What am I going to do now?
All right. So,
wow. I don't know what this is, but it sounds funny. And what is that? New Zealand is what I'm hearing.
Very
there?
Much.
Yep.
So.
New Zealand.
Yep.
So the show is called Wellington Paranormal. Now, if Wellington, New Zealand yep. sounds familiar to you, that would be because the town that What We Do in the Shadows, the movie.
Oh, okay. So it really is connected to that. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
And those are those two cops that show up in the movie to find out what happened to Peter when he got burned.
Right. Okay.
And they're oblivious and they're just going like, oh, you really should be careful yeah. there.
And they're just as oblivious here, if not more so. It's the same two actors too. So it's, I forgot the name of their names in it. Officer something.
So it's Minot, which is
the dude.
That was the guy that was asking about if we identify UFO, is it just called an FO?
Yeah.
That was him.
Yeah.
And then Officer O'Leary.
Yeah. The lady. She's
the
awesome.
Female.
And she's so good.
They reference X-Files so much. I love it.
It seemed like a Kiwi X-Files.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was created by, well, this is more on the Jermaine Clement side of things than Taika Waititi, but still kind of they're the source of both these characters. And that's why yesterday I was so freaking thrilled, because I just put out this question saying, were the characters what I thought they were, which is from the movie first, or was there some other use of them before this or what? And Jermaine Clement did a quote tweet of my tweet and said, yes, they are from the movie. Which was kind of a cool thing to see yesterday, because I really like that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're those bumbling cops, and they're at it again. And like Nicole says, it's like a send up of X-Files, whereas, you know, all the vampire tropes and stuff are for that, you know, for What We Do in the Shadows. This is really focused on all kinds of paranormal activity, and they really play to those strengths. But it's also like another documentary fakery kind of thing going on, the way it's filmed and stuff.
Have you watched the three episodes that are on HBO Max right now?
I am caught up with two. I've got a third to watch, and then I guess another one drops this week, I think.
No, there's only three out right now on HBO Max. There's three seasons. I've been waiting 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. It's super annoying.
To the United States.
It's super annoying because for whatever reason, they're piecemealing it as if it's brand new, but they're out in New Zealand. You can just see them there.
There's three seasons. You can if you have Hulu Live TV, you can watch this via that. Or you could watch the three episodes that are currently on HBO. There's going to be more, of course, but the last one is a ghost episode. Yeah. It's awesome.
Is it
it's
good?
So awesome. I loved it so much.
Yeah. So far, they're hilarious, and I can't wait for more. It's very, very good, this show. Yeah.
The clip that I provided with the FOs was alien crop circles on that one. Mm-hmm. The first episode's a demonic possession mm-hmm. kind of thing. It's called Wellington Paranormal.
Mm-hmm. And it's awesome.
So
yep.
Sounds watch great.
It. If you like What We Do in the Shadows, you'll love this. It's a little, I mean, it is different enough to set itself apart, I think. It doesn't just feel like a direct, you know, spinoff. They've got their own ideas here and it's great. I'm enjoying it.
What's funny about these shows, so the spinoff of What We Do in the Shadows series, I like that way more than the movie. I feel like I'm enjoying the show spinoffs of that movie mm-hmm. more than the actual movie. Because I rewatched the movie because I wanted to see those two characters in the original movie. And I forgot how gory and graphic the original movie is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Whereas, it totally is. Like, they do it for laughs, but it's meant to be shocking. I don't know. I think the series does that too, though. The series is pretty gross.
No, like, I don't know. Yeah. There's not, I don't.
I think you got to go watch some of those over again. Cause that first season, there is some stuff maybe. In there, man. Whew. And they definitely swear more than the movie does, but I get your point. Like, this, the spinoffs have given them room to breathe and not just cram everything into 2 hours. I still think it's my second favorite movie of 2015. I love that movie, but you're not wrong. Like, these are really great, and I hope they keep doing this kind of stuff. I know season 3 of Shadows is coming soon-ish.
I hope.
Yeah. It's in production. I don't know what the date is, though, but
there was supposed to be a werewolf spinoff too.
With, oh, right.
Jermaine and meeting. Brett's manager.
Yeah.
Ben meeting.
Reese Davies. Yeah, like whatever that. It is. Yeah. I don't know what happened to that. That was going to be a movie.
I don't know.
But
was it going to be a movie? I thought it was going to be a series.
Well, originally
seems
movie.
Like they do better with the series.
Maybe it changed because there's only been the one movie. But yeah, I don't know. I just think they should keep making them. And those guys are hilarious. And I hope they, you know, as much as Taika Waititi is firmly in Hollywood land now, I hope he keeps fiddling in that stuff because I love their smaller things. I think that stuff's great. All right.
Deadeye 71 in the chat says, friends told me the movie was straight up bad.
That's incorrect.
It's not straight up bad. I thought it was good.
Don't listen to those friends anymore.
That's an insane thing for someone to say. That's an amazing film. You should go watch it. It's in my top three Taika Waititi
movies. And it's such a silly take on vampires. And I just loved it. It was different.
There's nothing you can say, nothing anyone could say to me that would change my mind on any of these. They're all amazing. And it's some of my favorite.
I guess if you're a hardcore, like vampire, like, you know, Bram Stoker Dracula fan, you're not going to enjoy it. Like, right?
No, I like Stroker. Bram Stroker. That's cool.
Yeah. Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker is some of the best, Dracula.
I'm sure those people won't be bothered by that at all. Yeah. Those hardcore Bram Stoker fans. Stoker. Like Stoker. You know, like Stoker. Bram I'm Stoker. A real mean toker. Stoker. Yeah. Well, all right. These are all good ideas. Go spend your time watching these three things that we've discussed today and do it with glee in your heart because they're all good. Nicole will track this stuff and put it in her Twitter account as well. So if you follow her at Nicole Spag, you'll find all of that.
That's where it'll be.
Nicole, anything else you want
to? Stop making fun of me.
Anything else you want to mention?
I just like the fact that somebody said that Bram Stoker actually wrote Count Jacula. So...
That probably exists. I don't want to know.
It probably does.
Probably exists. Rule 34 in effect. All right. Well, Nicole, welcome back from California.
You know what I was saying.
Yeah, we knew what you meant.
Yes, of course we do. We always know what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
We just love the way you say it.
For every Cheeto and every, you know, we always know. We always know. Nicole's back, everybody. Have a great one. We'll see you next time. Bye now. All right.
Yeah, it's very good.
Stroker.
Some of my favorite things.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, that is it for that. Let's move on down the road here. I do want to play a mashup. I didn't write it in here, but...
cool. Okay.
Jamie made one of me playing Cooking Simulator. I don't know if this is going to be any good. I'm nervous about it.
Oh, did you grab the new one of those, by the way? He said that he put up a new one that fixed a couple things, and it has the word new in it.
I think so. Let me check.
Okay. Check the title if it has the word new.
It says, I don't have anything that says new.
Really?
Yeah, let's see here. Yeah, nothing says new.
In the Dropbox? Let me double check what he
He's got three things from three things from yesterday. But
let's see here. Can you make sure Scott pulls the most recent version? I added new to the file name to differentiate them.
I have one that's the new health and fitness section, but I think that doesn't, that was
that's
on June 13th.
So you don't have one that says, has new in parentheses at the end of the file name in Dropbox?
Nope. I have an SPT, TWSS. Yeah, I don't know.
Is he in here?
Jamie, you in here? You in the chat?
Clear it up, Jamie.
Hey, Jamie, clear it up.
Jamie.
What's going on? Well, all right. I guess I'll just play this one then. So this is me playing the, Dropbox is definitely not paused. I got all of Brian's stuff today, too. So it's showing the stuff he posted yesterday, so I have the latest. I don't know what happened. But anyway.
I don't know.
I'm going to play this. I guess this is me playing Cooking Simulator and talking about baked trout. So you might enjoy it, too. That game's weird. Here you go.
Stacy's mom has got it going on. Cooking Simulator is the game.
Nobody tell that guy what happened to his potato, please. going to make baked trout. We need trout, lemon, parsley leaves fresh. Okay, what do we need? Trout, lemon, parsley. Oh, shit. Got a lemon here, and I don't know where the parsley is. Is it on that plant? There's no parsley. Fantastic. We're going to figure this out. All right, we got our lemon. Oh, shit. Okay, dill. That's some horseradish right there. What do we got to do here? We got to take that trout. We got to put it on a baking tray. All right, come here, buddy. Okay, we're going to put that in. Open up, dickhead. All right, we're going to put that in here. Oh, I got to do the pepper, thyme, and dill. Okay, well, that doesn't work. Sorry, we're learning as we go. I probably should have done the tutorial. All right, thyme. All right, we're going to go. How much? 5 grams of each. Oh, it's not on the trout. I may have put too much. Take this guy. Oh, shit. I moved too fast. Where'd the food go? Where'd the fish go? Ah, shit. Where did it go? Are you kidding me? Where did the fish go? You guys, it's not on the floor. Oh, there he is. Jeez, Louises. All right, we're gonna shut that. I forgot how long. 90 seconds. Oh, this is way too long. Okay, go back. I think 30 of that already went by. While we're waiting, we're gonna get a dish. Where's the dishes? Shit. Oh, ah! Oh, what have I done? Oh no, overtime, shit. All right. How much? Shit, forgot. Okay, you're looking good on the pepper. Forgot the salt, because I'm a dumbass. Sunflower oil. How much of that? 10 mil... Shit! Son of a bitch. All right, and then... Okay, where's my... I need a plate. Shit. Oh, it's gonna burn. Shit. Where's my scooper? Scooper? Shit. I want to pick up an onion. I'm gonna shit myself. Oh my gosh, this thing. It's the bane. All right, so we need to do the chicken broth at 700 millihoo-haws. Oh, shit. It's already starting to leak. Where's the flipper? Where's my flip tool? Hold on a second. No. Okay. We did it. We know. We have it. I needed some kind of pincher or something. Oh, no. Ah! How's he not going to be impressed with whatever the shit I just gave him? Oh, it didn't taste good, though, did it there, bud? All right. How'd I do? That's not bad. That could be way worse, dude.
That game is stupid. Stupid. It's so stupid. Because you can't... Everything's so, like... I don't know how to explain it, Brian. It's almost like a VR game without the VR. It's like... First person, you got to take your spatula, pick up the chicken, turn it just right, hope it lands on the plate right, and you didn't burn it.
I watched you play some of this, or I think I watched like a TikTok or something, where you spill boiling water all over the place, and then the potato rolls out onto the floor.
yeah, because there's physics and stuff that I didn't count on, and when I was like in a hurry, because the guy was going to leave without his order, I had to whip around, and the fish went that way, and the potato went that way. At one point, I broke a plate against the wall. Like,
that's great.
It's insane. I have to play more of that. If you turn off the timer and just do like an open sandbox game, it's a lot less stressful, but maybe that's the point. I don't know. I'll only ever play that on stream. I'll never do that by myself. Like, what kind of insane person would do that? But all right. Big thank you to everyone out there who listens, who is a patron of the show. People like JK Grammar, Icor, Genie, and more. If you want to be like them, go to patreon.com/TMS and help this show continue to thrive and survive on the backs of your goodwill. What else? That's it. Frogpants.com/TMS, as always, is where you'll find everything else. And you can send us your emails, your feedback, your thoughts, comments to themorningstream@gmail.com. Brian, you got anything else?
No. No, I don't have anything else. Coverville coming tomorrow, but I'll tell you about that tomorrow.
All right.
But I've been putting music together for it. It's one of my favorite band cover stories that I do because I love the covers that people do of this band.
Oh, very nice.
So find out who I'm talking about tomorrow.
Ooh, we call that a teaser. Well done. Brian, why don't you now play us a song?
Yeah, this is an easy one, super quick. And people, as soon as they heard this album was coming out or this this project was coming out, they knew I'd be playing the song from it. And they're right. Michael Miller said, play this anytime you've got an opening. It's so good and so fun. I can't wait to hear the album tomorrow. He wrote that on the 16th because the album came out last week, came out on it came out on Friday the 16th.
Oh.
Foo Fighters decided to do a release an album that is half live music recorded from their concerts and half a cover album for the Bee Gees.
Oh, for the most part, the Dee Gees or whatever they
called Dee Gees, right? Because Dave Grohl, DG, which is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Love it. You know why do you know why the Bee Gees are called the Bee Gees?
Oh my gosh, I guess I've never. No, I don't. Why?
Same kind of thing, right? The two letters, the initials BG for Brothers Gibb.
Oh, Brothers Gibb.
The Brothers Gibb. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so this is from their cover album. This was the first single that got released from the part of the album that's called Hail Satin. It's the Dee Gees and their cover of You Should Be Dancing.
All right, this sounds awesome. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
A duck.
Whoa.